This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome back to the Georgia Dome. The Jaguars win their preseason finale, 20-16, and we will hear from head coach Gus Bradley momentarily. Jeff Loggeman is en route to the Jaguars locker room. Here's the most important statistic of the night. More important than the score, zero
injuries. No injuries.
Tony, for a football team to go into the season somewhat healthy. I mean, the starting quarterback has the thumb.
Brian, you say that.
I said somewhat.
Yeah, their left guard right now is questionable.
I said somewhat. Somewhat healthy.
I don't want to quibble with you, but the most important position on the field is a question mark.
That's why I said somewhat. I mean, they've got.
I would like a better adjective being used than somewhat to describe the situation.
How about not beat up?
You're not beat up. I agree with that. Now, we all think and hope, and the word is that Blaine Gabbert, they expect him to play. We'll know more this weekend and start early next week when I believe, you know, the thought is that he'll try to grip a football for the first time and see how that feels. So we don't really know. But that will, I mean, in my mind, determine how healthy this team is going into opening weekend.
Well, that was our injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. I say somewhat healthy. You say not beat up.
I say yet to be determined.
Yet to be determined. All right. But as far as this evening, no one left the game on a stretcher.
We didn't see either trainer or doctor on the field.
No, that's
I mean, the best news of the night for both teams.
And that's the way that that both teams want it to be in the fourth preseason game.
Heck, that's how I'd like every football game ever played to be. Now,
absolutely,
that's not going to be reality because this is a tough game played by tough guys, and bad things happen out there sometimes, unfortunately. And but tonight we were spared any injuries, and you just got to say thank you.
Did anybody make the team this evening who might not have had a spot secure before kickoff?
I'm not sure.
I mean, did Jordan Todman?
Todman, I think he was on the roster. I think Loggy thought it was up in the air a little bit. So if that was one, I think he made it. You know, other than that, you know, Will Blackman, who just got here, the way he catches punts so cleanly, he has a little bit of return ability. You know, you can put him in as a nickel maybe. Because the nickel position, it's not like – I don't know if Mike Harris had a great preseason. I don't know if – Trufant had a great preseason.
Did Mike Harris even play tonight?
He did. I saw him out there. We didn't call his name, though. Yeah. So I think Blackman probably earned a job tonight because you're going to have to – if Ace Sanders is your starting receiver, you don't want him out there returning punts a bunch. So I think Blackman would be one. You know, outside of that, I'm not sure.
Well, and the biggest story over the weekend is going to be just how active Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley are.
How about super?
Picking up other people's players. And I tend to think like you do. I think that by the time we get to the Tuesday after the Chiefs game, because remember now.
10.
Yeah, I think it's 10. I think it's 10. And I think, based on some conversations I've had, you could see multiple offensive linemen being picked up.
Well, there's not, I mean.
There's no depth.
No depth. And, I mean, I believe Brewster will be the starter if Rackley can't go, but. You know,
but let me just ask you.
The issue that Brewster's had is dealing with power.
Right.
And we saw that early in the game.
But if these backup offensive linemen, who could you not live without? I mean, a year ago they thought Cam Bradfield was their long-term tackle at on the right side. No. Dan Gerberry, I mean, congratulations. He played the whole game tonight, but he's been unremarkable in the course of the preseason. The look on your face says it all.
I'm listening.
Drew Nowak, Pat McQuiston, Austin Pazdur, R.J. Dill. I mean, you could make the case for Pazdur if you'd like.
I think Pazdur, in my opinion, is ahead of Bradfield right now. So if you're going to keep one tackle, that's the guy. If you're the seven guys that
at least two offensive
the
line.
Seven guys I would keep right now,
okay,
would be the starting five,
right?
Brewster and Pazdur.
Okay, so then probably two offensive linemen that you could see come in because you figured they'll keep nine. That's a position where you generally do.
Sometimes you keep eight and keep two on the practice squad because you're only going to keep seven active on game day.
Okay.
But you're right, eight or nine.
But that's an area. I mean, that as an example, that is an area where it was exposed as having,
well,
you know,
I think
precious little depth.
I don't think it would be unfair to say that one of your pass rushers is on another roster right now, possibly.
Yeah. You don't find those guys, though. I mean,
no, but I mean, even a, I mean, listen, man, I almost feel bad, but we've been pretty hard on Andre Branch. Not that we want him to perform. We are in his corner saying let's go. But
other than a sack last week,
but he was unblocked.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against him, but the other 52 guys, or the other back then there was 90 guys on the team, so the other 89 guys.
Yeah.
Might have been. I mean, listen, I'm taking nothing away from him. But
tonight, how many times was he lined up in the neutral zone? I mean,
and he was working against second and third teams.
He had one bull rush.
An undrafted rookie free agent on Valdosta State was blocking him. So, listen, you got to wonder there. I mean, so you need to find a pass rusher.
What did Kyle Knox show you anything?
No.
Okay.
Nothing. He's not big enough. I mean, 220.
I mean, I tend to agree with you, but, you know, Gus got eight sacks out of Bruce Irvin last year.
Bruce Irvin was 245, 250. Big difference.
I agree.
Huge difference.
But he's still not a real big guy.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. 245, 250, you have some juice. You have some power. I mean, at 220, I was watching him, and he has some speed. And maybe he's a special teams guy. Maybe that's how he makes it.
I'm just throwing it out. Hey, if they
need
it that bad.
But I'm saying you get your hands on him, he's not going anywhere.
Nowhere at all. How about the linebacking group?
It's thin. I mean, your starters, I think, are pretty established in Posluszny and Geno Hayes and Russell Allen. And I think the guy who's earned a spot throughout the preseason is Leroy Reynolds as the backup Mike. But then where do you go as your fifth guy? Is it Stanford?
Studebaker, isn't it? Your fifth guy.
Is it Marshall or is it Studebaker, who's not going to probably give you a bunch on defense?
No, but he's a great special teams player.
But if he's your fifth, I think you have to keep a sixth, Brian.
And so who is that?
Right now on this
roster?
It's either on someone else's roster or it's Marshall or Stanford.
All right. We're waiting on head coach Gus Bradley addressing his team right now. Jeff Loggeman is standing by.
But
he'll have the first word with the head coach.
But you can go to the secondary, you can go to the receivers, you can go all over the place.
Well, let's check in with the head coach who's with Jeff Loggeman right now. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Hey, Gus, congratulations. It's a preseason game and they don't count, but getting that winning feeling for a program that you're building has to feel good.
No, it does. It always feels good when you can come out on the winning end. But I was really pleased with our special teams. I thought they did a much better job than in previous weeks. And what I talked to them at halftime was that, you know, we got punched in the mouth. We made some mistakes. We got to eliminate those mistakes. But let's capture this opportunity in the second half to demonstrate that we can come back after getting punched. And I thought they did a great job with that.
Fourth preseason game presents a lot of opportunities. And a lot of guys got opportunities to prove to you and Dave, hey, I'm worthy of being on this roster.
There sure was. And some guys that have been playing a lot of plays for us. Egbo, you know, stood out. Todman's, you know, those guys. And also the new guys that we just picked up. Will Blackman got an interception. Max got some pressure on the quarterback. So, you know, together as a team, you know, we're going to continue to work on getting better.
One guy that stood out to me, and I'm not saying this because he's a Virginia guy, but Leroy Reynolds and also Gerberry, the center, looked like they played the whole game, both of them.
They did play the whole game, and that's why I just talked about the team. That's a tremendous effort on their part, and you saw where they had some, you know, some hills and valleys. But when time was clicking and it counted, they really both showed up.
First challenge of your career, you won it.
No, it's great. It's a great challenge, you know, and you know, these guys, all of them in the locker room, it's tough. There's going to be some tough decisions tomorrow. And that's good. They should make it tough on us as a staff. But we really genuinely appreciate every one of them.
I didn't notice any injuries. Obviously, coming out healthy this last preseason game is a big deal. Did you come out healthy?
Yeah, I think, you know, there might have been a thigh bruise here or there that showed up. But to get our first group in there, offense and defense, and get them 15 more plays to get better with, you know, we just felt like it was really important. And, you know, our credit to our guys, they went in there and they played hard. And we're fortunate that we came out so far, what I understand anyway, injury-free.
And now the preseason's wrapped up, a lot of work to do. Got to be by 53 on Saturday. Obviously, you and Dave and everybody will get together and try to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we kind of have an idea of the guys that are for sure going to make it, and then maybe guys that may not make it. But that middle tier was going to be the tough decision. And we'll evaluate the tape and make our final decisions accordingly. But it'll be a group effort, and you know, all decisions will be made just, you know, based on what's best for our team.
Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's the head coach, always first to you via Jaguars Radio. Jeff Loggeman in our postgame show. 20-16, Jaguars end the preseason on a high note. We take a break and return with more after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Georgia Dome for more of our post-game show. The Jaguars beat the Falcons in the preseason finale 20-16. And we go to the locker room, and we warn you now, Jeff Lagerman has a man and a man crush on this man. Has had him all training camp long, Loggy. You've loved this guy.
Brian, thank you very much. Obviously, Leroy Reynolds was our defensive player of the game. We know that he's smart. He went to Virginia. We know he's got athletic talent. He wears number 56. This happens to be my school and my number here with the Jaguars. Leroy, great opportunity for you, undrafted rookie. Lots of play time tonight to show to the coaches what you got.
It was just a great opportunity just to just come out and be able to progress and get better each week in these games, and just to finally actually make more plays, and the defense to, you know, make those stops at the end really helped our feelings, and it was just a good feeling just being able to play and play fast today.
This weekend, the final cut's got to be at 53 by Saturday. Be on the roster Tuesday at 4:30 p.m. to make sure you're going to get a week's pay. Have those dates and times wandered through your head?
Well, you know, through this whole process, I've just been relying on my faith and just been able to let my mind just be at ease and just know that I'm going to just continue to work as hard as I can and let everything else fall into place. So I try not to think about it as much. So I just continue to just do what I have to do throughout this entire process. And, you know, God willing, you know, things work out and I'm here for good.
Well, we know he's got a great background, comes from a great coaching staff, Mike London at University of Virginia. And Leroy, best of luck and a great performance.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You know, he's a guy, and look, we're kidding Jeff because of the Virginia and the 56 thing, but Jeff identified him on one of the very first days of training camp and said, I think this kid can play. And I ask you, I mean, how does a guy like that not get drafted at all?
I have
because
no idea.
Every time he was on the field, he was an impressive. Now, in New York, starting at the strong side position, he got a little lost. But whenever he played Mike, middle linebacker, he played well.
Hey, guys, before I go to another guy, I just wanted to just chime in here. I was going to tell you a story, and I ran out of time on the air there. And, you know, I went back and looked at the draft book, you know, Street and Smith's draft book or the Pro Football Weekly draft report. I went back at that and looked at that to try to find any kind of write-up on Leroy Reynolds, and there was nothing. So credit Dave Caldwell and his staff for finding a guy like Leroy.
Well, you know, he's a natural Mike, and so he didn't look great at the Sam because he hadn't played it very much, and he got changed during the week because of the injury to Russell Allen, so that's expected for a young guy. But when he's at his natural position, he has looked very good, and to find that guy as an undrafted free agent, and looks like, I mean, we don't make the decisions, but I can't imagine him not making this roster at this point because of what he's able to do and able to add. And it's not like we're very deep at that position as well. My only problem is this. I'm listening to Jeff, and he's talking, and he says, lets him know that he was our defensive MVP. I didn't know that we voted for that. I mean, how about just being honest and saying he was my MVP? When Jeff,
well, when you got the microphone in your hand,
you can ask whatever you want. I mean, that's a good point.
You can say whatever you want, and Loggy beat you to the punch.
He did.
We all agreed on that. We had two. We had Gerberry and we had Reynolds, and now I've got Denard Robinson here. Denard, last preseason game, had a lot of opportunities there in the fourth preseason game. How did you feel?
I felt pretty good, but you know, you always want to make that big play, but I think I took what I had, and you know, I just got to keep learning and just come back and have fun doing it.
Have you talked to Jed Fish at all about what a role for you may be in a regular season?
You know, not really. I'm probably going to talk to him soon, real soon, so I can, you know the role and whatever I need to do.
First pass thrown. You got a little grimace out of Denard there. What happened?
I mean, I could have got it to him earlier. Got to get it on him faster so he could make a play. So the guy kind of came up and ready to play, so I got to try to get it to him a little faster.
What do you need to do to take the next step in your abilities performance?
Get in the playbook more. Go be in Jed Fish's office all the time and make sure, you know, I know what I'm doing.
Got a weekend off. Next week, they start counting for real. Opening day against Kansas City at home. Your thoughts on that?
It's going to be exciting to step on the field and, you know, make things happen this Saturday. I mean, this Sunday you get to see, you know, everybody and see how the team really going to look. So, open the game, you want to go out and start hit the road running.
You got Cyprian, Grotz, yourself, Ace Sanders, Luke Jokel. I mean, significant contribution that's going to be from a very young group of guys, draft picks.
Right. I mean, that's what coaches want us to do. I mean, when you draft somebody, you want them to come in and, you know, kind of be active on the team. So that's how we look at it. We want to make plays, and that's what we're trying to do.
All right. Thank you, Denard.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Denard Robinson, who was pretty impressive in this preseason. I don't think any of us knew exactly what to expect, either how they would use their offensive weapon or how he would perform, and he exceeded expectations.
Let's just call him a running back. That's what he is right now. He's a running back, and he looks good doing it. And I think as he gets more confident as a pass catcher and gets more reps doing that, then I think it'll even open up the arsenal of what Jed Fish can do with Denard Robinson. Right now, I consider him more running back and a good one, and that's going to contribute in that role and also as a kick returner.
All right. Our broadcast this evening is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. And time to wrap up our portion of the post-game show from the broadcast booth with our Bud play of the game. And quite simply, it was the end of the ball game with a couple of fourth down opportunities the Jaguars defense delivered. Davis takes the snap. Drops to throw. Steps to avoid. Now he's running out to the left side. And he is going to get caught shy of the end zone. And the Jaguars have a terrific goal line stand under their belts. It wasn't over. The Jaguars had to drive the ball a couple of yards and get a first down. Couldn't do it. They punted. Had to have another goal line stand. But that was our Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light. The sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Final thoughts on the preseason?
I'm glad it's over. I thought overall it was a successful. I know the team only won one game. But if you look at the progress, especially in week two and week three of this preseason, it gives you a glimpse of what this offense can do. The defense, I thought, got better throughout the preseason as well. And I'm extremely excited about opening day against Kansas City to see where this team is.
All right. 16-week march begins right now. Tony, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Brent Martineau on the sidelines. We always appreciate your contributions. Of course, right here in the broadcast booth, John Dineen making the trip from Atlantic Beach, Florida to work with us. Scott Kushner is our engineer who pushes all the right buttons and makes sure that everything happens. And as I say every week, Jaguars football on radio would go absolutely nowhere without Joe Fortunato and his Philadelphia attitude in here, keeping everyone in check.
He wasn't very happy today. Someone wrote on one of his cards.
Including the big Italian to my left, Tony Boselli. So for Tony Boselli, I'm Brian Sexton, and for Jeff Lagerman, we will sign off from the Georgia Dome, where the Jaguars win their preseason finale 20-16. J.P. Shadrick and his entire broadcast crew, and they're quite good also, are standing by. Jay Gray, Marco Coleman, Linda Fortunato, Ed's there, everyone's there, waiting to carry you through the next hour and a half and get ready for the regular season. Final score, final time, 20-16. Jags win the preseason finale on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night.
Welcome inside the Hanania studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with you. Marco Coleman joins us as well. The happy final from the Georgia Dome tonight. Jaguars 20, Falcons 16. Saw a lot of young guys tonight do a lot of good things, but nice to finally get a W, right?
And for it to be over. I mean, the preseason final. Yeah, definitely to get a win. I'm pretty sure the whole locker room feels a lot more relief finally coming out with a W.
But finally got it over, too. Right?
Finally got it over.
Clock couldn't run fast enough in the second half. Some big performances tonight. Jordan Todman had another big night. 9 carries, 60 yards. Denard Robinson with 12 carries, 36 yards. We'll get to the quarterbacks in a minute. Mike Brown receiving 4 receptions, 44 yards. Sanders, 3 for 24. We saw a few performances on the defensive side that were very positive tonight, too. If you look at a guy like Will Blackman, who was signed just
yesterday.
Out of
nowhere, yeah. Big place.
Looks like a veteran.
Mm-hmm. And punt return also contributing on the special teams. And Blackman looks like he has a good chance to possibly hang around after just being in for one day. I think, what, a 6-year veteran?
That's right. He's been around the league for a while, no doubt. 21-yard punt return, an interception, 5 tackles, 2 passes defense tonight.
Playmaker.
Leroy Reynolds, you heard him in the locker room with Jeff Lagerman a moment ago. Another big night for him, 11 tackles in this game.
He looked very, very comfortable at that Mike linebacker position. He was all over the place. He looked real stout. Hey, you figure now you feel a lot more comfortable in the event of any of those linebackers going down, specifically on that inside.
Final score tonight, 20-16, the Jaguars over the Falcons. Some more defensive standouts tonight. Got like Demetrius McCray, 7th-round draft pick this year. really stood out tonight. Five tackles and a sack, too, on that fourth down play near the goal line.
I was really impressed on the aggressiveness on the tackles. You know, he had big Snelling coming out after a little swing pass. He came up, didn't dive at his legs. Boom, he came up top, made the tackle. That's what's most impressive to me because he's not a big guy. You know what I mean? So making that tackle was impressive, very impressive.
Appalachian State guy, too, 1AA guy. What is it, FCS now is the ruling on that. But big night for McCray, and he's become a lot better as this preseason has gone along.
DeAnthony Smith was pretty active also. Hopefully things work out for him as far as with these cuts. He's been pretty impressive all camp, I would have to say.
That's a defensive tackle. We'll kind of break down all these positions as we move along tonight. Are you ready, Marco?
Let's go. Let's get fast, man.
It is time now for our Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. Number one, Kafka or Scott, who is the third quarterback on this team if the Jags keep three?
I'm going to go with Scott. Scott looked, I think he's a little bit more athletic. He made some mistakes tonight, but I think he also had enough good plays to kind of overcome that and make you feel a little bit better about him through the whole preseason, actually.
Yeah, Matt Scott tonight, 6 of 12, 67 yards, an interception. Kafka, 6 of 15, a touchdown of 13 yards.
Yeah.
Don't forget Robinson had a pass tonight, too.
Yeah, that's what you want to call it.
Complete. Number two, the best training camp. Who had the best camp?
Ooh, it's a lot of guys that really had really good efforts throughout the whole training camp. But I'm going to have to say the most impressive guy, small package, big plays, Mr. Ace Sanders. He was very impressive all training camp. Very consistent.
Got better, too.
Got better and better.
When he had to step up and play on the outside, he did that, too.
Plays very big. Plays big.
Finally, who made the team tonight that wasn't necessarily a lock?
How about a guy that wasn't even around? I would say wasn't a lock, wasn't around, but Demetrius McCray. I thought he was very impressive, the guy we just mentioned as far as from Appalachian State. I mean, he every time the ball came his way, he was involved, getting batted balls, defending plays, involved in the special teams, tackling, showing the physicality. I'm going to say McCray.
That's it for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game answered by Marco Coleman.
Fast show.
Another note tonight, Marco, there were a lot of early turnovers in this game for the Jags. They overcame those as a club and came through with this win tonight. Good to see.
Yeah. I mean, you figure those are some of the things that you're going to see during the course of a full four quarters. How do you respond with adversity? Because it's going to come. You know, over the course of a four quarters of a football game, you're going to have those peaks and those valleys. It's the sign of a good team is being able to overcome them and still play some solid football afterwards. So they did that tonight, and, hey, hopefully they can carry that over to when they see the Chiefs.
When we come back on Jaguars postgame, we'll take a listen to the Sexton summary. The highlights from tonight's Jaguars win at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. The final score, Jaguars 20, Falcons 16. Jaguars postgame rolls along after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Back inside the Hanania studio at Everbank Field. Tonight's final, it's a happy one for the Jags for the first time in the preseason. They defeat the Atlanta Falcons tonight 20-16 at the Georgia Dome in downtown Atlanta. The Jaguars finished the preseason 1-3. They'll open the 2013 regular season next Sunday, September 8th, against the Kansas City Chiefs right here at Everbank Field. It's now time for the Metro PCS Sexton summary for tonight's game. How did it all happen? Well, it started on the first Jaguar drive with a Chad Henne interception. The Jags defense would hold. Ensuing drive after that, Jags got the ball back, drove down the field, and Jordan Todman made another appearance.
Receivers outside the numbers. Todman in the backfield. Here's the handoff. Todman going left. He's got all kinds of room at the 15. To Mendes at the 10. The 5. Todman, touchdown.
I think he might have made the team.
Darting through traffic, Jeff. He was not going to be denied. An 18-yard run into the end zone a week after scoring from 63 yards away.
Yeah, fantastic run. Nice cut by Todman for the score from 18 yards out. The extra point from Scobie made it 7-0 with just under 5 minutes to play in the first quarter. Scobie would add a 29-yard field goal early in the second quarter, about a minute and 20 seconds in, ending an 8-play drive, 10-0 Jaguars. Jags had the ball again, deep in their own territory, though, late in the first half. Matt Scott under center trouble ensued.
Here's play action. Scott, though, under pressure, instantly lost the ball, and the Falcons have recovered it. This is going to be an Atlanta touchdown.
It was a touchdown. Jonathan Massaqua with the sack, the fumble, the forced fumble, the fumble recovery, and the touchdown all in one. And the Falcons got on the board. The extra point failed by Shelley, and it was 10-6 at that point. Shelley would then come back right before halftime, 10 seconds left, and connect on a 42-yard field goal. It was a 10-9 halftime score. Scobie in the third quarter for the Jags would hit from 32 yards, 13-9 with 9:35 to play third quarter. And a little bit back and forth as the Falcons would take the lead in the third quarter with 7:13 to go. Vaughn breaks through with a big run.
Renfrey hands the ball off, and there's Vaughn, and Vaughn goes right up the middle, and he's across the 50-yard line. It's a foot race. He's to the 40. He's to the 30. He's running to the 20 and the 10 and the 5, and it's a touchdown. 65 yards for Josh Vaughn.
Josh Vaughn, a nice run. That was the second play of the drive. And a 16-13 score. Falcons had the lead after the Shelley extra point. Well, the Jaguars would fight back, though. The very beginning of the fourth quarter, Ebert receiving a 13-yard touchdown pass. Mike Kafka connects for the go-ahead score.
Play action. Kafka under pressure turns and lofts this one to the corner of the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Jeremy Ebert slid underneath that ball.
Yeah, nice catch in the end zone right on the sideline there in the corner of the end zone. The Jags with the Scobie extra point led 20-16. It was up to the defense after that. One of the newest additions, actually the newest addition to the team, Will Blackman signed yesterday right before the Jags jumped on the plane. 7:13 to go. The Falcons moving. Blackman stops a drive.
And here's play action. Davis rolling out left, looks across the middle, intercepted. The defensive back,
Blackman.
Will Blackman, stepped right in front of the pass and took it away at about the 36-yard line in Falcons territory.
Capped off a big night for Will Blackman, his first night with the team. The Falcons would later have the ball again, driving. It was fourth and goal from about the 5-yard line. This goal line stand with under 2 minutes to play. Well, they thought they had it won at this point.
Drops to throw, steps to avoid. Now he's running out to the left side, and he is going to get caught shy of the end zone, and the Jaguars have a terrific goal line stand under their belts.
And that was the biggest stop of the night. The Falcons would get the ball back. The Jaguars couldn't do anything, bogged down deep in their own territory, had to punt it away. But another turnover on downs ended the game. The Jags in the victory formation killed the clock. And the final score tonight, Jaguars 20, Falcons 16. The Jaguars get their first win of the preseason. They finished the preseason with a 1-3 record. The Falcons 0-4 in the preseason, but boy, Atlanta is loaded. You didn't see many starters from the Falcons at all tonight. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. When we come back, a deeper look into this game with Marco Coleman. 20-16, the Jaguars win it tonight in Atlanta over the Falcons. Back with more after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final score tonight from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. The Jaguars, a 20-16 winner over the Falcons. Welcome back into Jaguars postgame from the Hanania Studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick joined by Marco Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Solid night tonight for a lot of these young players that are on the bubble. The roster cut deadline is Saturday at 6 o'clock. It's likely that some of the cuts will come down tomorrow, if not all of the cuts tomorrow for this team. But well, in a night that's really the biggest night of their lives for a lot of these guys, who stood out to you? Who are the offensive and maybe the defensive players of tonight's game?
Well, I said, you know, tonight, obviously, Jordan Todman. You know, he the past couple of weeks, last week and this week, he's shown that he deserves to be on this team. As a matter of fact, when you talk about that second running back right now, I think he's the guy. I mean, Denard Robinson has gotten a lot of carries and, you know, he's listed as that offensive weapon, and I think they're going to use him quite a bit. But as far as the true running back, Todman deserves to be in that spot. Now, Forsett has been injured. You know, a lot of coaches don't like to get rid of guys, you know, without giving them an opportunity when they've been in the tub. But although he's been in the league for a while, I don't recognize him as being as impressive. I just can't remember it, I guess you could say. You're only as good as what you've done last. And Todman right now rests in my mind as being the guy that's been most explosive, shows a lot of wiggle. He's blocking. He's doing all the right things. And on the special teams, he's been contributing. Tobin, I think, is probably offensively the most impressive guy the past couple of weeks here in this training camp. So,
obviously, it's going to be Maurice Jones-Drew ready to go. Gus Bradley said earlier in the week that he didn't say it's a lock, but he's going to be on the roster. He likes him on third downs. But Todman has to be in that conversation. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I agree. And also at the center, Gerberry. I mean, you know, you figure it's a name that you don't hear a whole lot about, but he's in the first guy to touch the ball. And it was no botch snaps. I mean, you know, in the middle of that offensive line, they were able to run the ball. I mean, a big reason why Tobin was able to run the ball is because of the blocking that you saw. And Gerberry was right in the middle of that. You know, he did a pretty good job, played the entire game. I think he put himself in a really good position to maintain the position, because you figure, realistically, Meester, a little long in the tooth.
Yep.
And it's very possible that he could, during the course of the season, have to take a break. You know, so Gerberry, I think, also was impressive. And has put himself in a good position also to, you know, make a spot on this football team.
And that'll be an interesting positional battle, too. The swing guys on the line.
Brewster.
Is Brewster involved? Yeah. And Gerberry. I mean, those guys could be at the same spot. They're fighting for that one.
And the backup tackles. That's you figure Bradfield, you know.
The pastor.
It is. So it's some, you know, I'm going to tell you, in my career, this was probably the worst time. You know, for 14 seasons I played, I was fortunate enough to make it through, except one training I got cut. As a matter of fact, here, how about that? but it's the worst time, man, because you figure you spend all this time with guys, you develop some camaraderie, all going out in that heat together, you're tired and, you know, been battling, develop some really strong relationships during this training camp. And, you know, you really feel bad when the guy that you've been stretching next to all these weeks all of a sudden is gone, you know. And these coaches, they feel it too. I mean, it's always a sad, somber day, the day after, you know, right when you're going into those cuts. It's a terrible atmosphere in the locker room during this time. Real terrible.
That's what Gus Bradley has kind of mentioned throughout the week, that it's one of the toughest parts of being a head coach, no doubt about that. Let's talk quickly about some defensive players. We mentioned some of the offensive guys. Who stood out defensively to you tonight, Mark?
Well, you know, like I said, I was, you know, been mentioning Demetrius McCrary. Mm-hmm. You know, he came in, and, you know, I think it's just because of the way he looks. He's a slim dude, and I was really impressed with him being physical. I mean, that tackle he made on Snelling was impressive to me, because you see most of the defensive backs come up, and a big guy like that, the first thing they do, they go straight for their knees. Him, he took the guy on, you know, and made the tackle. He didn't back down from it and got it done. And then also a guy that they brought in right off the street in Blackman, you know, coming in, making plays, being involved in special teams. He was around the ball pretty much all game, you know, and showing up quite a bit. And that's impressive. You figure when, as a defensive player, that's something you want to see. Guys around the ball, because when you're around the ball a lot of good things can happen for you. You saw with him getting that interception.
20-16, the final score, Jaguars over the Falcons. Okay, Marco, hidden gem from tonight. We've talked about all these guys that stood out on the stat sheet, younger guys, McCray, Reynolds, all this. Let's go deeper than that. Who's your hidden gem in this game? Mm. Who stood out to you tonight?
Who stood out to me?
That nobody else might see. You're all-knowing, all-seeing. What do you have?
Julian Stafford. I mean, people don't recognize, you know, it was talked about early in the pregame about making a team on the special teams. Julian Stafford, I think he had two tackles on the special teams. That's big. That's a big night on those special teams to be able to get two solo tackles. And then also, he was disruptive in the when he got in the game defensively. I thought he did a really good job. Hopefully, he done enough tonight to get himself a position on the football team.
This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Put a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. When we come back, we'll break down some more of the statistics from tonight's Jaguars win. The Jags finished the preseason 1-3 with a 20-16 win in Atlanta tonight. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Back inside the Hennania studio at Everbank Field, the happy final tonight. The Jags over the Falcons at the Georgia Dome, 20-16. The preseason is over. Jaguars finish 1-3. The Falcons 0-4 in the preseason. But Atlanta is poised for another fantastic year. The Jaguars on their way to opening day. The Kansas City Chiefs come in here next Sunday, September 8th. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Let's look at some stats for this game. we'll kind of stay away from the team stats tonight, except turnovers, some early turnovers for the Jags. They overcame those. Marco, like you said earlier, you find out about some adversity and you bounce back from it. The defense played well off those turnovers, at least later tonight, and played well, certainly. A couple of the turnovers, one was taken back for the touchdown. Can't help that much. But this, really, more than any preseason game, was an individual type of game. You're looking for individual guys to stand out. Start with rushing. Todman, of course, 9 carries, 60 yards, the 18-yard touchdown. Denard Robinson had 12 carries, 36 yards. And those were really the leading rushers in tonight's games. Grimes could be in trouble here. 2 carries, 5 yards, just not much time in a game where you need some time.
So we Grimes see a lot of Tofoe.
Yeah. Didn't touch the ball much.
Yeah, well, not necessarily run the ball, but you know, he didn't play until the second half, and I think that's a strong indication of some possible, you know, bad things to happen.
Yeah, him and Pryor is a big battle at fullback, and we'll see what happens.
Yes,
Tofoe has been around a little bit. He's been working with the first team in practice, and Lonnie Pryor has not. And we'll see what happens tomorrow, I guess, on that front.
It's going to be interesting.
Quarterbacks, Kafka, 6 of 15, 46 yards and a touchdown. Scott, 6 of 12, 67 yards, one pick. Chad Henne started the game, 6 of 10, 56 yards and an interception as well. We talked about it earlier, but you'd think Matt Scott's going to be the third quarterback if they keep three.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Scott had put together a couple of really good series. It wasn't until the latter part of that second of the first half when he started to struggle. We started with that, I think it was the fumble that was returned for a touchdown. And, you know, from that point on, he kind of just had several key mistakes that, you know, had a big impact on the game. But I think physically, the way he threw the ball, moving around, I actually like Scott a little more. Kafka just doesn't seem to have the same mobility that you see in Scott. Because one of the things that I noted, you know, you figure, think back when Gabbert was playing and the way that Jeff Fish wants to run this offense. It's about a guy moving around, a quarterback that has some mobility and has the flexibility to throw the ball in the run.
Yeah.
I think Scott has a little bit more of that ability than Kafka does.
Receiving tonight, Mike Brown had a big night. 4 receptions, 44 yards. Ace Sanders, 3 catches, 24 yards. Reisner, another big night at the tight end spot. 2 catches, 26 yards. Showed some durability, too, on that one reception where he was hammered a couple of different times. I think Reisner's pretty much a lock to be on this team.
Yeah, because you don't have another tight end. You know, and he was at one point the third guy. Stand back, I believe, is the guy that's actually, I would think, it may be in a little trouble now. I mean, although he's a good receiver, I'm not sure how good of a blocker he is. And that's one thing that Reisner has the edge on with him is being physical, being a major contributor in the running game as far as blocking. So I look for Reisner to be a big part of his team.
Brackett, the other tight end tonight, had one reception for 24 yards. Ebert had that 13-yard touchdown reception. A couple of starters, Shorts tonight, 1 catch, 5 yards. You didn't expect a lot from him in this game. Was not going to play long. Apparently didn't talk the coaches into playing longer like you thought he would tonight either.
Nah, he wasn't going to do that. You can't take a chance for having your prize jewel end up getting lost, though.
And by the way, Justin Blackmon, the last chance we'll get a look at Blackmon until week 5, targeted 4 times, 0 catches tonight, Mark.
Yeah, he didn't even he didn't like he was really into it either. You know, you can tell a lot about a person's body movements and things of that nature, and he just didn't seem like he was really, like he was almost ready to go. He didn't start the game. I don't know if he was pouting, feeling bad about that or whatever the case. But hopefully after these 4 games, he comes back a more mature player, you know, and he's got to grow up because they're looking for him to become the guy to lead this team, you know. And right now, Cecil Shorts is that guy. They came in together, but right now, the guy that was picked later is standing up and making a bigger difference. He's being a lot more mature than Cecil and taking on the responsibility of being leader of a team.
Final score tonight in Atlanta, Jacksonville 20, Atlanta 16. The Jags get a win in the final preseason game. They finish the preseason 1-3. And when we come back, we'll look around the National Football League scoreboard on a busy final preseason night. All 32 teams played, 16 games in the league tonight. We'll get you caught up on all the action, and then we'll wrap it up here from the Hanania studio. Back with the scoreboard right after this on Jaguars Radio. Hey. Back on Jaguars postgame, final score tonight from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. Jaguars 20 and the Falcons 16. Jaguars finished the preseason 1-3. They'll host the Kansas City Chiefs at Everbank Field Sunday, September 8th. That's coming up next week. Busy night in the National Football League. Everybody in action in the final preseason week on a Thursday. Cut day. The deadline is Saturday, and then give them a little extra time to get ready for that opening week, kickoff weekend games next weekend. A few games in action still. There are 4 minutes to play in the fourth quarter in Denver. The Cardinals with a late lead, 25-24 over the Broncos. Halftime in San Diego, 49ers lead the Chargers 17-6. They've just started the third quarter just after halftime in Seattle. The Seahawks lead the Raiders 16-6. Every other game in the league final now. Rasheen Mathis had an interception for the Lions tonight in a 35-13 win in Buffalo against the Bills. The Bengals over the Colts tonight, 27-10 in Cincinnati. Jets beat the Eagles 27-20 at MetLife Stadium tonight. Sims for the Jets, by the way, 33-44, 285 yards. And Bell on the ground, Khalil Bell had two touchdown runs. 80 yards in the game. He continues. Remember, he had a big game against Jacksonville a couple of weeks ago. The final in Miami tonight, the Dolphins over the Saints, 24-21. The Patriots scored 14 fourth-quarter points. Tebow with two touchdowns, but was sacked, what, four times in the game. But they beat the Giants 28-20. The Redskins over the Bucs tonight, 30-12, the final score in Tampa. The Panthers over the Steelers in Charlotte tonight, 25-10. The Browns with 9 fourth-quarter points. They overtake the Bears 18-16, the final score in Chicago. Battle in Texas tonight. Houston over Dallas 24-6. The Chiefs with a late breakaway in this game over the Packers 30-8, the final score. Chiefs a winner there in Kansas City at Arrowhead tonight. Rams over the Ravens 24-21. That's a final. And the last final in the league tonight, the Vikings over the Titans by the final score of 24-23. That's your look around the National Football League scoreboard tonight. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by GEICO. GEICO has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much GEICO's military discounts could save you. Go to GEICO.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local GEICO agent today. When we come back, we'll wrap up Jaguars postgame. The final score in Atlanta tonight, Jaguars 20, Falcons 16. Back with more after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Bud Light presents NFL Fan Dilemmas.
Should I put these Bud Lights on your tab?
Wait. Jeff's supposed to get this round.
Throws it over the middle, and it's picked off! Down to the 35-yard line, and the home team's back in business here in the third.
But on my rounds, we play better. It's good luck when I buy Jeff's beers. But I don't want to buy Jeff's beers. He wouldn't even give me gum the other day.
Drops back, slips a tackle, moves out of the pocket, has a man open down the sideline, and it is caught for a touchdown! Unbelievable!
Wow, what a shocking turn of events. Absolutely everything going right now. They have all the momentum.
Yeah, just put them on my tab.
It's only weird if it doesn't work. Bud Light, for the NFL fans who do whatever it takes. Here we go.
Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, Jags fans, put that cash back in your wallet and break out the Jaguars Visa debit card instead. Available exclusively through EverBank, you can score one by visiting a local financial center or at everbank.com/JagsCard. This card yields to no one and is yours free when you open an EverBank Yield Pledge checking account featuring powerful mobile banking apps and unlimited U.S. ATM reimbursements when you maintain a minimum average balance. So claim your Jags card at a local EverBank financial center near you or by visiting everbank.com/JagsCard. EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
30,000 jobs, a $2.9 billion annual economic impact on the Northeast Florida region. At the Jacksonville Aviation Authority, they have turned their diversified four-airport system into an economic engine that serves the commercial, industrial, business, and recreational aviation needs of our community. That's going beyond daily. Learn more at flyjacksonville.com. That's flyjacksonville.com.
Final segment of Jaguars postgame tonight. The Jaguars a winner over the Falcons 20-16. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. This week coming up, cut day tomorrow. The deadline is Saturday at 6 to get down to 53. As you said earlier, it's always a tough day in these locker rooms.
Oh, it's a sad day, man. Like I said, there's something about when you go through a training camp, you know, it's hot. Sweat, you know, it's everything that goes on. It's the physical and mental demands that are on you, and you do that with a guy that's right next to you the whole time. You develop a relationship because you're going through this tough time together, and to see that guy leave after he's put in all that hard work, it's a tough day. It's gonna be real somber. I mean, for the coaches, because they also develop a relationship with these guys. They try their best to put up this facade and be so tough and things of that nature, but they are human. There's some guys that they like, and there are some guys they can't wait to hit for them to get the hell out of here also. You know, but I tell you, it's a tough day, man. And, you know, throughout my whole 14-year career, never has that this day or this time of the year been a good day at all. It's always the same. You know, guys leave that you're surprised to leave, and then guys leave that you just hate to see go, because a lot of times that's the last time you see them. You know, so it's a tough day, real tough.
The Jaguars will host the Kansas City Chiefs next Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kick right here at Everbank Field, but the story of the week will be Blaine Gabbert's thumb.
Who's going to play quarterback? I mean, you know, Blaine did a good job in that second preseason game. Got us all really, you know, got our mouths all wet and ready to see exactly how, if he can continue to do that. Because the thing that even that you saw tonight with Henny, the consistency, and that's with both of these quarterbacks, the consistency. He did well. He's had this time off. Will he be healthy? And if so, will he still be able to play at full four quarters like he did in that preseason game? So it's going to be really interesting. And hopefully he does come back, because I would like to see Blaine start the season now.
Final prediction for next week. What do you got? Are you a prediction guy, first of all?
You know, this all depends on, you know, if Blaine's playing or not. Really. I mean, I have to wait to see who's going to be
a
quarterback.
I didn't ask for an explanation why I asked for a prediction, Marco.
I have to have everything. And if you have to ask me on that Thursday, you know, when they decide, when they have to have the final call as to whether who's going to play quarterback. You know, if Henny's at quarterback, that's going to change my whole perspective, because it's going to change the style of offense that's going to be played. Blaine's in there, I think the whole playbook is going to be wide open. You're going to see an offense that can keep a defense on their heels. Henny, a sitting duck against a team that has a Pro Bowl safety, Pro Bowl defensive end, it could get, you know, I just leave it right there.
Okay, fair enough. Until next week.
Until next week.
Great stuff as always, Marco. Thanks a lot. See you next week. Next week, of course, Sunday, September 8th, a 1 o'clock kickoff between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Jaguars here at Everbank Field. Tickets available. Call 633-2000. It's a 904 area code if you're out of the area, or visit jaguars.com. Of course, go to jaguars.com all week to get the latest on Blaine's thumb as well. The Senior VP of Communications for the Jaguars is Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jaguars Radio, Mike Dorward. Manager of Jags Radio is Joe Fortunato. Producers are Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco. The anchor of Jaguars pregame is Jeremy Ratliff, and Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For Marco Coleman, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli, and Brian Sexton, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Once again, the final score, Jaguars 20, Falcons 16 on the Jaguars Radio Network.